You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, we have a good show today. This week has been a good week. The alignment must be doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's planets. Mercury's not in retrograde.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah. So I have Greg Hansen calling in about 6:15. We'll take him to about 6:45. Lots to talk about in the world of UA sports, local sports, and things like that. Maybe we'll wax poetic and be a little critical. That's just my guess. I've been critical all week.
Yeah, you've been fired up all week.
Fired up. I don't know why. I think I'm just tired of the season.
Yeah.
It's been a long season. I don't know if it's been a long season, but it's been a long season since August when the football team came on the scene and stunk it up. And then now things haven't got any better with basketball. But the women's sports or the minor sports have done their job of keeping things afloat at U of A.
Softball's been awesome. Basketball's been awesome. I can't wait for the baseball season to start for Arizona.
Tomorrow.
Pretty excited for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to call anything a minor sport, you know, because if it's your passion, it's your major sport.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And if it's winning, it's your sport.
That's right.
Yeah. Because everybody used to say, oh, it's football season. No, it's not. It's basketball season once they lost a couple of games.
Right.
Now you can't say it's basketball season, at least on the men's side. Now you say, oh, it's softball season or something else, you know, because, and the women have carried the torch now here for a couple of years now because it hasn't been good on the basketball side for men the last couple of years. So we'll talk to Greg about everything. We'll talk about Color Guard Classic. We'll talk about UA men's basketball. We'll talk women's basketball. We'll talk maybe football and how recruiting has gone. It's gone bad, but we'll talk more about that. And just a lot of things local, maybe some high school sports because the high school basketball season is starting here pretty quickly here.
And, you know, Steve, that's another thing, too, with everything going on, high school sports kicking in. We don't talk about it often, but they're always going.
Right.
There's 100 different things going on at the high school level.
Right. And you
so
have a lot
much.
Of good players, a lot of stars that are going to be playing at the Division I level.
Sure.
Football, obviously, and then basketball, too. Maybe not at the summer bigger schools, but some of the other Division I schools, the Harvards and the smart guy schools. So that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Ivy Leagues.
The Ivy Leagues, la-di-da leagues, the presidents of the companies leagues.
Mm.
You know, you can joke with them all you want, but guess what? Don't tease them because they're going to be your boss one day.
Yep.
You're going to be your boss one day.
Exactly.
What's going on? What else is going on? Oh, so the Arizona men's team plays here in about, 2.5 hours, maybe?
Yep.
2.5 hours. Women play tomorrow here locally. It's a big weekend. It's always a big weekend. And like I said, the Color Guard Classic starts here in 2 weeks from this weekend, I think. Valentine's Day. I'm sure you've got your Valentine's gift, Tom.
I'm such a last-minute guy. I don't have anything done.
You know, in trying to find a girl to give it to or the last... Oh, you know you do. You're dating somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not like me, a sad sack.
I don't know that makes it one or the other. It just is.
It is what it is.
You are or you aren't. I don't know. It's like, you know, you have those friends who are like, oh, you're not dating anybody, blah, blah. It's like, I don't care, you know? And, oh, you're dating someone. Oh, it's like,
go ahead, say, I don't care.
You got to be where you are.
She might be listening. Go ahead, say, I don't care.
No.
I dare you.
I mean, I don't care about what they're saying.
Oh.
That's what I mean. I don't think your relationship defines you.
Good. Ouch. You got yourself out of that one.
I'm smart.
Yes, you are. You're a radio. Of course you are.
Yeah. That's right.
You read whatever you want into that.
The funny class clown intelligent guys end up here, and the good-looking guys end up on TV.
Yes, they do. Yeah, but that's a short-lived gig.
Yeah.
You know, you're as good as your last haircut.
Yep.
And as good as the last time you mispronounced something.
That's right.
Yeah. In fact, I heard my Color Guard Classic commercial. Did you listen? Have you listened to that?
Yeah, I've listened to it.
It'll come on my show, too. I'm going to listen to how he says Jose.
Okay.
I have to listen to that. Just out of curiosity. So we'll be talking sports. If you want to call in, please do 790-2040. Greg will be here in about 4 minutes, and we'll talk about a lot of different rambling subjects that I kind of go tangential on. And it should be fun. Every time Greg's on, we have a good time. Talking about the good old days, too. A lot of things going on. Obviously, the Golden State Warriors with Steve Kerr not doing so well. My guy, Luke Walton, not doing so well with Sacramento. You know who had a good night yesterday? He doesn't have very many good nights. Josh Pastner. You know why? His Georgia Tech team, mediocre that it is, beat the number five team in the country, Louisville. He is playing for his job every game. Kind of like us.
Yeah.
Our show is, what do they say? Play like your life depended on it and your job depended on it. As long as I don't have the, as long as you don't have to hit that little special button over there.
Yep. You're only as good as your last segment, Steve.
how have I survived to this point?
I don't know.
Yeah. But it's been good. It's like 14 months, if not more, 15 months. I'm having fun. Thankful that you're on board.
Thanks.
You need 5 days, not 4 days. Just saying.
Okay. Good to know.
We're still here. So I think we should go. How are we set with commercials in the first segment?
You know what? If you wanted to run a half hour of commercials, I could.
Oh, you could. No, we won't.
But the listeners don't like that.
Yeah, we won't. They'll call it if they want. 790-2040. Let's go to the commercials now.
Okay.
And then it might take us to 6:15, and then we'll get a hold of Greg, and then we'll have more time to talk to Greg about a lot of different things.
A lot of stories to tell.
A lot of stories to tell. Yes. Let's go to break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. That was a quick segment. Thomas?
Well, we wanted to just get back to you, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
That was the important thing.
Well, there's therapy for that. Don't worry about that. That's fixable.
I don't know if therapy is going to work.
Yeah, no, I know. We'll see what happens today with basketball because, you know, the biggest thing this week, which is kind of funny, was Sean changing the starting lineup. Yada, yada, yada. This should have happened a long time ago because Mr. Dylan Smith is shooting very, very poorly. And I don't know if his defense overshines his offense because he's not bringing anything to the table offensively. And you can always need help. This team needs help offensively with either Max Hazard or Mr. Baker, Jamal Baker. So, you know, a switch in the lineup couldn't hurt. Are we good to go?
We are.
Okay, great. Now on the phone we have Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Same here. Good to hear from you. Hey, there's a lot to talk about. Let's start with some good stuff. The women's basketball team, I think you've seen them a few times now. It's a refreshing group of women who are playing out of their mind and contenders. And I saw you did a column on them maybe a day or so ago about their toughness. Mm-hmm. It's probably not a shock to you because Adia was pretty tough, but these girls are kind of going beyond.
Yeah, it's funny. I'd gone, I think maybe like you, 15 years since I really went to a women's game here.
Right.
And I went last year, maybe 7 or 8 games. And what struck me first more than anything was how physical the women's game is.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they didn't play good teams early in that WNIT tournament, it was physical. And I liked it. It was because, you know, the men's game seems to be a touch foul game. But the women's game, they let them play. And, boy, Adia has really taken advantage of it because that little Ari McDonald is just a dynamo. She can take anything and she dishes it back out. And I can't remember when I've had so much enjoyment watching one basketball player for quite a while.
Right. She reminds me of Damon Sotomayor. I think I've said that before with you. Just because she's like a water bug type, can get into the lane, can shoot it from distance, and she's not afraid to go and get the rebound. And she's, what, 5'6"? Maybe, on a good day?
Yeah, and she's... I mean, I think the last home game I watched here against UCLA, when they were ranked number 8 and they beat them, she had 10 rebounds.
Yeah, right. No, she's a feisty, fun player to watch. I remember last year when I went to see her in person a couple of times, she played out of control few times. She this year is under composure, or at least more under composure, and just more controlled, and obviously has to lead the team and does. And then she has some complimentary players that have helped.
Now, Kate Reese is obviously progressing and I think, has a chance to be an all-conference player when they get more inside help next year, which I think they're going to have. Because now she sometimes plays center. And she, you know, she's obviously not a center, but she has to because they don't have anybody else. When they get more, the roster filled in more next year, and then when she's a senior the year after, she could really be good.
Right, and then the girl or the woman who had a great game, McBride, I think it was McBride, who's come on the scene.
I love watching her because she reminds me of a, you know, of an enforcer in men's basketball, somebody who will knock you around. And it's amazing what an impact she has. That Oregon State game.
Right.
The Oregon State coach, who's big-time coach, he's been to the Final Four, he yelled at her from the sideline. He was upset at the way she was playing, kind of like, as you remember, when the Cal people were yelling at Reggie Geary that year.
Yeah, up in Cal. Yeah, right. I remember that. No, I won't say she's a Eugene Edgerson type, but she's a tough one.
Yeah, she was. She blocked four shots in that game, and they had to have all four because, you know, went to overtime, and every possession was, you know, there was almost no scoring in the last 10 minutes of regulation. And so her blocks made it possible for them to win the first game ever against a top 10 team.
Right. I know we're not supposed to kind of cheer for anybody that we cover, at least not publicly. But I think that we're also human, and we can also kind of pull for people as we write stories. And I think that maybe I could be misspeaking, you could tell me otherwise, about Adia. You know, you followed her for her career here and beyond. But she's one of those, how can you not pull for her?
Yeah, I don't want to use the word refreshing, but
that's a good word. It fits.
Yeah, it caught me off guard last year when I started going to their games. That there could be a person like this, so engaging and connecting, and willing to not take the negative slant. It was just different because maybe it's because there's not as much pressure in the community on her. Although that's probably going to change.
Right.
But the way she handled it, the way she approaches things, and how amiable she is to everybody, not just selected, you know, powerful people, but it sure is working.
Right, no question. Do you remember the last story you did on her as a player?
I do. I do.
Yeah. And?
I went to the, they were in the NCAA tournament, well, in 97, when you were in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
The day between games in Memphis, I flew to Georgia and went to their – they played in Athens, Georgia, in the first round of a tournament game and won. And I remember talking to Adia after that game, and it was the first time I talked to her. And it was just kind of like, wow, can somebody be this nice and still be, you know, a star player like that? But she sure was.
No, that's good. Nothing's changed in the 20 years that we've
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, when they were hiring her, remember that?
Yes.
I thought for sure they were going to hire the Alaska coach, Ryan McCarthy, who's, you know, he's like the best Division II coach in women's college basketball.
Did you? I thought maybe it was going to be Julie Brazzi, and maybe I might be speaking out of turn, but I thought maybe that was a consideration. But no, okay, but go ahead.
But I remember talking to Greg Byrne about it, and you know how he was coy about it, and I thought, how could you not hire that Ryan McCarthy? And he goes, "We'll see." I just didn't think he would pull the trigger on Adia because she hadn't been a coach, and that McCarthy guy had some connections to the state, and he just seemed like the guy you would hire.
Mm-hmm.
I think he put Susie Mason and Erica Barnes on the case, and they both came up with, you got to take Adia, and pretty good advice.
Yeah, no question. A winner, a local, and a person who cares. That ain't easy. I mean, come on, just a few years ago, this team was one of the worst teams in college basketball.
Oh, they might have been the worst Power 5 conference team. Of course, I don't know about you, but so far I haven't got a depth of knowledge on women's college basketball, but it sure is growing like every week.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Arizona, I can't imagine a team that was worse than Arizona over a 10-year period.
Yeah, no, I get it. She shows up and changed the culture. I know that's a kind of like a trendy word, changing the culture. And she's done that. Now she's gotten some players. I think if they do really well now, that this will continue, because you can't mess this up. Once you get it going, it's hard to mess up.
And next year, I don't think I'm premature in saying this. I think the expectations are they'll be a top 10 team. What are they now, 12 teams?
Right. And then beating top 10 teams.
Yeah, Oregon loses everybody, but they got the nation's number one recruiting class, and Stanford is just loaded. I mean, loaded.
Let's go there. Okay, so they have a number one recruiting class. You've been here 30-some, 40-some years. I've been here about 32, 30. What the heck does that mean? And I'll say this, Your Honor, the Arizona has had recruiting classes up the wazoo for the last number of years. And what does it mean? What does it translate to?
It excites your fan base, and basically after that, not much.
Not much. Well, we have evidence of the not much.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I asked this of someone earlier this week. Maybe it was Matt Modano. Did we mess up? And did we do the hyperbole, the great recruiting classes, blah blah blah, and then they show up and they don't turn into what do we think?
I'm guilty of that as much as anyone. I mean, I thought Nico Mannion was going to be a contender for Pac-12 Player of the Year, and I missed that by quite a bit. And I mean, you can go down. Who actually was as good as you thought they'd be? I would say Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
Lowry, Markkanen.
Right, and I think Rondé to a point.
Yeah, and Ayton.
And Ayton.
Before that, it took a while.
Right. Right. Well, the thing that started it all was Derek Williams, who turned into this player that we didn't expect. And those are the stories that everyone loves. But when you come in with those, huge expectations that they usually do, most of them haven't turned out the way we thought it would.
Yeah. I mean, Stanley Johnson, he averaged 12 points a game, and you could see his potential, but it's really sad to see how he struggled in the NBA. He rarely plays now.
Right.
You know how old he is?
23? Yeah, 23. In fact, you know that. I mean, if you're not practicing your game, even though people tell you you're the next best thing, you're getting messed up, because the guy behind you is going to come and take your job, even if you're 19, 20, 21, whatever it is. And I asked him when he left at his press conference, I think, do you realize it's some big man's game? And he was, 19 years old at the time. Yeah. He looked at me like, how could you ask me that question, you fool? But it was like, this is a man's game. And unfortunately, he may or may not be in the league that much longer.
I don't think he was a natural basketball player like a lot of the guys. It must have come easily to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just such a perfect body for it. He never impressed me the way some of the basketball players, pure basketball players, like Aaron Gordon.
Right. Right. Well, he's just gifted, physically gifted, and probably works his butt off to become who he was. It's like the guys we saw, Richard Jefferson, not a great basketball player, but he must have worked his butt off to last, 15 years. It wasn't a great shot, found his niche as a defender, and then became that guy. How many have we missed? The Mustafa Shakur's where we missed on again, one of the best players come in, and then he turned out to be kind of an overrated guy. We know which ones have come in and hit and missed, but this year has been unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know how many times people in the conversation with you have said, can you imagine how much Josh Green would benefit from staying in college one more year?
Yeah, well, all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because it's all about potential and what you can get me down the road or 2 years from here and whatever. But you know what? Realistically, they're probably going to be better pros because the system's different.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's totally changed. And I can see Nico Mannion playing in the NBA for 10 years. I don't think he'll ever be a star.
See, I, I, I think that he could be. One, because he'll have more leniency. They'll let him play more. He'll work on his game to shoot better. He has, you see, he has that presence and that basketball smarts. And he, at the next level, he won't have to score like he's trying to score here. He's trying to force scoring here. And that's not going to work.
Yeah. Did you notice, I think it was about 10 minutes ago in the UCLA game, he drove to the left side and shot like a 10-foot floater, and it missed. And Miller called timeout immediately. He was really steamed. And he saw Mannion, and he gave him the thumb like an umpire ejecting a manager. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
No. Mannion gave Miller?
No, Miller gave
him
the thumb. I didn't see it until I saw a replay. And I just thought, man, work with him a little bit. Don't get so mad at him.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. Let me ask you, we have about a minute left or 50 seconds left in this segment. No, we don't. I'll ask you this on the other side. No. And the question is going to be, what do you feel, because I have my thoughts, on what's going on with the team and why are they struggling so much? You want to percolate on that question? Because I think we're all doctors in our own, we play doctors in our own life. So let's talk about that after we come back on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Yeah, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and on the phone I have Arizona Daily Star columnist Greg Hansen. So, Greg, the question again is, what do you think the biggest issue or issues are with the team right now?
Inability to shoot.
Number one?
Hard to say, but those are the things to me that in their bad losses that cost them to lose. Ball movement, people off the bench not contributing, probably a lack of faith in a lot of players, a quick hook. I mean,
those last two that you said, the lack of faith in some players, the quick hook. I think that and you can't hide that from the kids. You can't, or the players. They're not kids anymore. That they get a sense of that and they're plain afraid. They clearly don't want to play in the half court, and you've been here longer than me. No Arizona team can play well in the half court. It hasn't happened in forever, and they like to run. They haven't run outside of the first 10 games, maybe, and he says they're running, but they're not running. Yeah. You know and I know they're not running occasionally, but that's not happening, and a happy group of guys want to run.
You know, even at his press conference on Tuesday, Miller talked about their pace and their up-tempo, and I just haven't seen that.
It didn't make sense to me. I heard the same thing, and I'm thinking, I don't know if he's trying to convince us that that's what he's trying to do, but it's not true.
Against bad teams.
Yeah, right. And honestly, if you're a coach facing Arizona, what are you going to do? Slow the heck out of them.
Yeah, which works. And
it's worked since 1982.
I know. I mean, they couldn't get a rebound defensively against UCLA, so they couldn't run. And that played right into Cronin's hand. That's his game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And UCLA doesn't even have an all-conference player. Do you think they have an all-conference player?
No. It's unbelievable. I didn't go to the game for. I just didn't think it was going to be. I don't miss games because I like going to the game. And I like writing about it. I didn't go to the game for a couple of reasons. I had something to go to, and I just said, you know what? I'm not sure it's going to be good. And halfway through, I'm thinking, I'm glad I didn't go because I heard it was just bad.
I was keeping old-style notes on their shooting percentages, you know, play-by-play. And when they were, like, 3-for-24 in the second half at one stretch, I started looking through the record books and looking through the archives and realized that this was going to be the worst shooting percentage in the history of McHale. And not only just by a fraction or so, but by 7 points.
Right.
32-25.
You remember that bad Washington State team that came in maybe a decade ago? They couldn't score.
Yeah.
They scored like 17 and a half.
Oh, yeah, 20 points and a half.
Yeah, and you're thinking, that's this team. How in the world can this team do that, even by accident?
I would answer that with the question, and that is, didn't they recruit Max Hazard because he was a three-point specialist with 4 years of experience. He was going to be the guy who would stick two or three right when you needed him. He was going to play with confidence. Every coach, opposing coach, was going to go, we got to cover Max Hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And now Max Hazard sits there.
Right, right. No, I don't disagree with you one bit. There's so many options that you think you would know, but maybe there's things going on that we just don't know, and I'm sure that there are, or there always are. So we'll see. I mean, tonight's another chance, but they might struggle again because Cal goes slow, and we'll see.
Yeah, I guess you can say this almost every year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona won both games this week, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lost both games.
Right, right. No, in fact, I just saw Jay Billis, as he did his top 64 games or whatever, put Arizona in the top chance to get to the Sweet 16. We all know that. And his reasoning, in they're a young team, but you never know, they can catch fire and play well. Well, that's, of course, very obvious, but if they haven't caught fire to this point to show you they could catch fire, what makes you think they're going to catch fire?
And really, you know, the two teams they beat recently, Washington and Washington State on the road, are not good teams.
No, 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 no. When people were talking about that trip, I'm thinking, okay, they beat the last place team in the conference and the ninth place team in the conference. And then it's like me getting a date and saying, well, I'm a ladies' man.
I know. You know, even against Washington State, C.J. Ellaby just went through the motions. He just cashed it in that game. He wasn't willing. No, he just didn't perform. And that's how bad Washington State is, that Ellaby picks and chooses when he's going to play.
Right, right. No, it's a bizarre time for these guys. We'll see what happens this weekend. Like you say, they win two. Probably the world sets itself on fire and everything's good again. They lose two, and then it's just the same misery.
You know, if they won both and come home to play Oregon next week, that would feel like, you know, a landmark year. And if they beat Oregon, this is a lot of ifs, it would be, everything would change. You'd forget about the collapse at ASU and you'd forget about the UCLA debacle.
Yeah. Yeah, at least for a moment you would, until the Pac-12 tournament comes and then the NCAA tournament comes. Hey, so I would assume, we have about 5-6 minutes left, I would assume that you're high on the hog in a couple of weeks with the Color Guard Classic coming in?
I really do enjoy that, don't you?
I like the day because it's usually a nice day or two out in the in the yard, as it were, and you know, good names obviously come in, and it's a nice, easy day.
I always go through about 3 minutes of depression, though, knowing how big this golf tournament used to be.
Oh, yes, yes.
And knowing that it's not that way anymore. I'm not saying diminished. It's just not Tiger Woods walking down the fairway.
Right, right. What I wanted to say is you've been here for a number of these, like I say, more than 35, 40. But bless the conquistadors' heart because they're doing everything they can to keep this baby going.
Yeah, and they put on the Champions Tour the same way they put on the regular tour. I mean, they've got the same amount of volunteers, the same approach. You know, it's first class from start to finish. And they've been fortunate with the Champions Tour because they've got identifiable people on the leaderboard all the time. And if they can get to one more year, Jim Furyk is going to be here every year, and Ernie Els is going to be here every year. And I can see it getting better instead of the other way.
Right, right, right. Big names. Because they're all turning 50, I think, in the next year or so, right?
Yeah, Furyk turns 50 this spring. And Mickelson does too, but he might wait a few years until he tries the Champions Tour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's probably the best 4 days, some of the best 4 days of the year for you, getting to do what you like to write about.
Man, I could sit down with some guy having a beer and talk for 2 hours on the Tucson Opens. Just all the memories from Phil Mickelson winning when he played at Arizona State, and Tiger Woods winning here in that great comeback in the match play. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Robert Gámez, the first year
right.
of the year.
I remember that. It. That was like 1989-ish, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And like my first or second year here, Tom Watson won it, and then Johnny Miller won it the year after.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
Right, right. Well, there's your book.
Yeah.
Start that book. Maybe lastly, we had about 4 minutes left. Let's talk about another depressing subject, and I don't think it's going to get any better, is the football program. Saw the recruiting was what it was. I saw that Michael Lev did a big story on Sunland over the weekend, but I'm not sure there's a lot of hope there.
Well, I think the home opener, the season opener against Hawaii, would be about a toss-up right now. And so you can imagine if it doesn't go right, what the season could turn into. I mean, 2-10. Or if they beat Hawaii, maybe they could go 5-7. They don't have any all-conference players. They've recruited poorly. Really, I mean, what's the attraction? The attendance last year was the worst ever.
It's going to, with 20, and realistically, it was probably not what they said it was, at least butts in the seats. You know, you're looking at 25 to 28 almost every game, although they were saying 30-something every game.
It is the lowest since they expanded the stadium in 1975.
Yeah. I know if you're a marketing guy, you have to work some magic because there is no magic on the field.
Yeah, I know they play Oregon and USC at home, but if you want to go to that game and see Arizona get beat pretty bad at, you know, 11 at night.
There's no way. You know how this town is. It's a fickle town. They need to have a winner. And if you don't have a winner, no matter how big the game is, it's not good.
Yeah. I was thinking about this today when I realized that Michigan State used the same guy from the same search firm that hired Kevin Sumlin. And I thought, tough. Don't they learn from their mistakes?
No, because it's the kind of like the good old boy system where, well, maybe we can pull it off and call this guy. And we all know that exists. It's a good old boy. If you got a job, people think you can pull it off, and we all see what happens. We'll see what happens. I don't know. It's they're going to give him one more year. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I kind of sense it's going to go like what you say, either 2-10 or 4-8, whatever it is.
Don't you think the only chance is if Grant Gunnell is an NFL-bound quarterback and emerges? That's the only chance, isn't
sure,
it?
Sure, yeah. But now he needs to find targets that are going to be at that level.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. It's not good. It's not a good time to be – I don't think it's a good time to be an Arizona Wildcat. It's just not.
Well, women's basketball, women's golf, and softball.
Yeah.
Three really strong programs. And now, I'm sure you didn't notice this, but cause it's been 15 years, but the U of A men's golf team today climbed to number 6 in the poll.
Wow.
So now Arizona has 4 really good programs, and 5 if you count women's soccer.
Right. And those 2 of the 3 will get you on the radar. The other 3 won't get you on the radar.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Greg, thanks for joining me. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate
Thanks. Greg, that was Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star. Of course, we can read him on Tucson.com or pick up the Arizona Daily Star daily. Let's take our final break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. We got about 14, 13 minutes left of the show, and your week is done, Tom.
Sort of. I mean, yeah, you know, I get to not come to work, I guess, on Fridays. But, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, make it sound like I got something going on. I don't.
Valentine's Day. You have a Valentine's. Live it up, baby. Live it up.
Yeah.
Could be my life. I'm not going to live it up, but I'm going to have a good time.
There you go.
Hey, so you're sitting there patiently listening to what we have to say. What points do you think that we hit home runs on?
Working backwards football, obvious, and I know I'm going to be one of those
people.
You're that guy. Sitting there in the fall, and I will be watching them, get pasted or whatever, but I'll stay and I'll go because I like college football.
Mm.
I enjoy it. Mm. I enjoy the atmosphere. I'll go see the basketball. As a matter of fact, I have tickets to Sunday's game.
Women,
you know,
the women.
Men or women, I'll go see, but I love watching the women's program. I was at the final last year. The atmosphere was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. I like the atmosphere. And so I can enjoy just about any sport when it's fun, you know, and it's a fun atmosphere. And that's why I like the golf tournament. That sounds like it's going to be a great time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking forward to that. That's what I enjoy. You know, as I've gotten to the point in my sporting life where I might not root for a single team in every league anymore. I might just go and root for a good athletic competition with a good atmosphere.
No, and that's as a sports writer or doing what I do now. I'm not. I don't care who wins or loses. I'm just there for the story. So you just hope for a good day and a good game.
Yeah,
and something that comes from it.
And something that writes itself. If
right.
Yeah.
Right. 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 And most of them do. And if they give you good answers with the quotes, it fits right in, and you're done. And then you're done. You call it a day and do it again tomorrow.
So let me ask you a question. With basketball, men's basketball, okay. Is it possible, is it even conceivable that if Sean Miller were to stay for another couple of years, that he could change his recruiting style?
Yes.
Because obviously this hasn't really worked.
Correct.
So does he?
Do you think it's a case of his recruiting style or his coaching style?
I think, okay, both. Because you have to recruit the players that fit your style, but those aren't always the sexy picks.
Correct. Correct. If you're going to, I've said this, and I think I've said it in the show before, I'm a horse guy, everyone knows that. If you're going to get the best thoroughbreds to run or to race, you know what you do? You let them race. You don't try to slow them down and put the pace. No, you run them. You run them until they can't run anymore. He doesn't do that. He doesn't. He tries to let him kind of lope there for a while, and not so much lope, but he put him into a system. It doesn't work that way. I know what he tried. Hey, the only examples I have are the last 10 years. That's all I have. This is my sample size.
Right.
And for 10 years, there have been 10 bullets. They haven't hit the target for 10 times. At some point, we're gonna have to change the gun. Change the bullets, or get a new gun or something. You know what I'm saying? It's
a completely different target. That's much bigger.
You've got to change something.
Yeah.
And I think he's a very smart man, a very good coach, but it's not working.
So here's the other thing, is I do remember being a kid somewhat. And what I remember about my athletic endeavors and competitions was that I also wanted them to be fun. I wanted to win. I was serious. I wanted to beat everybody else. But you know what's fun? Winning.
Yes, yes.
And I don't think they're having a good time.
No. I totally agree with it. Even in wins.
The kids I'm talking.
No, I totally get it. And let me tell you something. That's the number one thing that I think. There was a guy on Facebook, and I know him very well, and he had like a laundry list of things that he thought. There was like 12, 15. It was probably every single one of them. He said, can you pick and choose which ones? I'm thinking, you're going to give me a choice of 3 or 4? Can I just pick them all?
Yeah, 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E.
Because 1A, 1B affects B and C and D and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. If one is affected, and then you have all the kids, 10 of them, let's say 10, because, you know, after 10, those guys don't play. But if A affects E and kids and blah and yada, yada, personalities, and I'm not saying the chemistry is bad. I won't say that because I don't know. But this is kind of beyond explainable. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In 98, I don't think I've said this on the show and with you, in 98, they had Bibby, Simon, Dickerson, AJ, and who's the other one? This is sad. I can't remember this, and I should know this like the back of my head. But where I was going to go with this is Simon, Dickerson, and Bibby, and Jason Terry, I'm sorry. You go into a game, you're thinking there's no way, two guys are going to have a bad day. There's absolutely three guys aren't going to have a bad day. Well, guess what happened that one day against Utah? All three of them went dark. One, okay, maybe. Two, nah. Three, there's no way. Here, you can't have 1, 2, 3, 4 guys go bad. Guess what's happening? All four guys are going bad.
I think it's almost the flip side, Steve. I'm trying to imagine that many guys having a good day.
Here now?
Yeah.
You hope that happens. But we're going into a year and going into a game, guess what? You assume that's going to happen. When you got into your car today and you came to the office, you didn't assume that I'm going to get in a crash. You assume you're going to get here safely.
Absolutely.
That's part of the success of the program. You're going to go there and have a good day. Yeah. They're getting into crashes because it's just not working. Doesn't make any sense, does it? To me, it just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Having covered a team for 30-some years, I have enough examples to say that something's off. They're just not, whether it's kids today or styles today or whatever, you're not going to tell me, there's no way you're going to convince me that UCLA is a good team. And that a good team with good players like Arizona lost to this team at home. It was just bizarre. It's been bizarre. Oregon State, too, over there. And I know that they're good at home and they beat Oregon. But still, I mean, you have good players that are capable of beating good teams. And it just hasn't happened. But here we go. We got a caller. Scott, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm pretty good. How you guys doing?
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, just talking about the team and the chemistry and stuff. If you look at the women's program and what Adia is doing over there, it seems like they're all for one and one for all, and they all play together, and it seems like they have great chemistry, and everyone's on the same page, and it's great to see. And unfortunately, with the men's side, it's kind of everyone's going for their own goals, and it's either you're the fifth-year senior and it's your last chance, or you're trying to make it to the lottery pick in the draft, or you're just trying to position yourself for more minutes for next year. It looks like everyone has their own motives, and no one's really playing together as a team.
Yeah. No, I thought, you know, the one example I have with that, it was 2 years ago when they lost to Buffalo in the first round, and Miller talked about this on a January afternoon. They had just lost on the road, and he says, I don't know if I'm getting through to these guys. I just don't know. And it was very obvious that he wasn't, because he got beat. And then he kind of backtracked maybe a week later when they won a couple games. But you could still see that was the issue when they played out of their mind in the Pac-12 tournament. Everyone got hope. 4 days later, guess what was happening? They were getting crushed by Buffalo.
And I know shooting slumps happen. It happened to Kerr against Oklahoma in the Final Four in 88. And those things can happen. And it's tough the last game in McKell where everyone wasn't shooting anything. But typically, it comes down to coming together and everyone playing as a team, and it's just tough when it's the last couple of years. It kind of seems like it's back to the same thing where you can't reach the players, or they don't feel the need to show up when the time gets tough.
There's no question. They're playing, I don't know if you get this sense, or Tom, if you want to talk about this, they're not playing inspired basketball.
No. But again, that goes back to having a good time, having fun, enjoying yourself.
Right,
do you want to be here in the first place? Do you want to be out there on the court? And Steve, you've observed this team far closer than I have, but I think you've had the same observations, is that you don't get that sense of joy that these guys should have coming out, shooting around, just being a college basketball player.
Right, right.
That's a cool thing.
I think Scott might know this because he's been around a long time too. I still think, and I've said this for a number of years, even most recently, that the kids today are still living off the name of the program. They are living off the reputations of the Steve Kerrs, the Sean Elliotts, the Damon Stoudemires, and the Bibbies and stuff like that, because in their mind, guess what this place is? It's a basketball factory for the NBA.
Sure.
And it's a basketball program.
Yep.
And people talk about that all the time. And I don't know if it is. What do you think, Scott?
Well, you can't doubt the success Miller's had with getting players into the NBA and having high draft picks and stuff like that. So people are still making it into the NBA, and that's typically the goal for the top prospects. And maybe they're not having success in March, and they are kind of living off the dynasty of the past and the namesake. But really, for a lot of these guys, it's just about, how are you going to get me into the draft, and how high can you get me? Because that's really comes down to the dollars.
Let me go one further on that, Scott. So let's assume for a second that DeAndre Ayton went to USC, or he went to, I don't want to say New Mexico, maybe Vegas, or if Aaron Gordon went to the same schools, or he went in Stanford or whatever, and then Stanley went to the same thing. Aren't they already NBA players? They're just camping out for a year?
Yeah, I agree. It was like Markel Fultz when he was over at Washington. They had a really bad season that year, but he still went number one. And I think coming to U of A, you think you have the possibility to play for a Final Four and go really deep. And they still believe that, even though these players were born after the last Final Four. And it hasn't happened in a while. But some of the things that U of A is missing is this team is a shooter. And I don't know if you saw the article on Barcelo. He's really shooting lights out now. And he's definitely missing
well,
at this point.
That's not a shock, because he was just not happy here. I saw a story maybe a week or so ago where he was just struck by the lights and the delusions or whatever, and he had to get out because he was not happy. Devin Ayer is gone, Who knows how he would have helped? Who knows? There's a lot of things. It's just strange to me.
And I think one of the factors for the Miller teams is he kind of gives the keys to the freshmen, and they can you ride or die with them. And if they're having bad games, he still lets them go. But then you have a guy like Max Hazard who has a couple bad plays, and he gets benched. And it's kind of tough for the chemistry.
Right. Scott, thanks for always calling. Appreciate it. Take care. That was Scott. Calls every now and again. Thanks, Tom. I'll see you Monday, I guess.
I'll be back on Monday.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening here on 1030 The Voice. Thanks, Greg, for showing up and calling.